Om Jnanativarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namani. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yate Shatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is a great honor for me to join this initiation ceremony, and I'm doing so at the request of my spiritual mentor, His Holiness Giriraj Swami, who has... It's becoming more and more apparent to me over my life that he's taken me on as a dedicated project to somehow pull me along. And it's extremely heartfelt because I don't know anyone on the planet that I respect more and that I have so much affection for and who I have so much trust in. Having seen him throughout my life dedicate himself to Srila Prabhupada selflessly in every way. And then to realize that he's taken me on as a project makes me realize that Srila Prabhupada is still very much in my life through my dearest godbrother, senior godbrother. I'm speaking first because he requested me to. I'm participating in this yajna because he also asked me to do so. And that is my mission in life, to follow what he says. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Regarding Dhira Prashant Prabhu's second initiation today, and then two more of you are taking second also today, correct? And I'm going to talk a little bit about the process of initiation and give the perspective that it is a process, not an event. Because we are moving through this life and we're at various stages connecting ourselves to Krishna in whatever way we can. For instance, when children are born or before they're even conceived, there's the Garbhadhan Samskar. And as children grow up, then they have the first grain ceremony, and there are many samskars that take place. Samskar is important because we're vulnerable as tiny living entities. It's described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that in size we're atomic, and that our nature is that we're subject to our association. Whomever we associate with, we become like. And therefore, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangosya sarasat yoni janmasu. If you notice that you have ups and downs, you have good and bad in your life, it all comes, Krishna says, because of the way you've associated yourself previously. And in the material world, there's a bit of a morass. That is, it becomes quite complicated. Who we associate with at what time, who we've associated with in the past, and the kind of forces created by that association bringing us into this life, it's a lot to overcome. In fact, most people or nobody overcomes it. Krishna says, Daiva hi esha guna mayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. That the forces that you're encountering in this world are actually divine because originally they come from me. And they're not surmountable unless, Krishna says, one surrenders to him. And that's the meaning of initiation. It's an act of surrender. In fact, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita said, Dikshakali, what is the verse? I can't hear ambient noise. It's mentioned in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Dikshakali, that at the time of Diksha, one is Atma Samarpana, is giving oneself in surrender to Krishna. It's an act of surrender to accept initiation. And this is the way in which one endears oneself to Krishna. And there is a process through which one does this. So just as there is a system in electronics to overwrite, there is a system to overwrite our samskaras as well. I don't exactly know or how to describe overwriting in an electronic sense, digital sense, but some of you do. There's a way in which some of the old code gets abandoned and then new code is introduced and it replaces the old code, which sort of falls off, something like that.
Deprecation.
It happens through deprecation. Thank you. So in a similar way, there is a system to do that. And as described in our authoritative shastras, Sanat Goswami gives the verse, Yata kanchanatam yati kamsam rasavidhanataha tata diksha vidanena dvijatam jayate indrinam. Vijanata means there's a process through which one can overcome the previous kinds of samskaras that one has, the momentum from one's previous lives. And it's a transformational process, and it takes place by connecting to Krishna through a spiritual master. This is the actual system. And it is also described in the Hari Bhakti Vilas as the way of gaining transcendental knowledge and crushing one's previous impressions, which compel one to become more and more involved in the material world. As it is said, Divyam Gyanam Yato Dadyat Kuryas Papacha Sankshayam Tasmat Dikshatit Saprokta Deshi Kais Tatvakovidai. That those who are learned know this process to be called Diksha. Diksha means Divyam Gyanam, or divine knowledge, and Sha means to crush one's previous bad tendencies. So through the process of Diksha, authorized system of approaching a bona fide spiritual master, which is a rarity. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Manushyanam sahasreshu kashyat yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashyin mambiti tatvataha. And out of millions of people, there are very few that are spiritually inclined. And out of those that are spiritually inclined, there are a smaller number that are in awareness that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that approach him through the process of devotional service. And so Prabhupada used to give the example of the rarity. He mentions this in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that there's a sea tortoise. Balaram, you know what a sea tortoise is? Say yes. You've probably seen one before. They swim in the vast ocean. And let's just say the sea tortoise comes up for air, and he happens to come up when there's a board floating on top of the ocean, and there happens to be a hole in the board due to a knot that's missing. And when he comes up at that time, by serendipity, so-called coincidence, he puts his head up in the vast ocean, the board's there, and his head comes up through the knot hole. And he gets the breath of air. The chances of coming in contact with the bona fide spiritual master taking initiation are that rare, according to the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as presented by Srila Prabhupada. So it's a rare occurrence, and the most valuable. In fact, it's called dvija for a reason, because one is taking a second birth. There are a lot of or several mentioned. Dvija actually refers to birds, because they take birth twice, right?
Yes.
Once as a, say egg, and then once as a bird, and then teeth. It also, dvija also means teeth, because teeth, when you're born, you get one set of teeth, and for some reason beyond me, you get a second set later on. So that's also called dvija. And those who are taking initiation, they take another birth by spiritually connecting to Krishna through the spiritual master. And so the process, in order to connect with Krishna, actually it's not that difficult because Krishna is always reaching out to us and has made unlimited facility for us to come to him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the author has written, Dharma projita kaitavo tra paramo nirmat saranam satam vedyam vastam atra vasanam shiva tapam trayam mulanam Srimad Bhagavate mahamune krite kim va prayer ishvaraha sadyo hridyavarudyate tra kriti bi shushu shubish takshana. So in this second verse of the Bhagavatam, it is said that when one hears the Bhagavatam, somebody who listens to the Bhagavatam with attention captures Krishna within the heart, and it happens sadyo, right away. Krishna won't leave the heart. In fact, it's written in extremely interesting terms. He becomes trapped there because he's so attracted to the Bhagavatam, and he won't leave the heart of somebody who's actually listening to the Bhagavatam. This is mentioned also in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, pranaya, that by love, one ties ropes around the lotus feet of Krishna and holds him within their hearts. However, the Bhagavatam says that such persons are refined. Sadyo hridyavaridite tra kritibi shushu shabis takshana. Kritibi means that the personalities who are listening or qualified to listen to the Bhagavatam have become refined through a process. And Jiva Goswami says what that process is. It's the process of initiation. Because although Krishna is fully available through his names, and although by chanting even one name purely, one can attain complete perfection, and although if one hears Bhagavatam, Krishna becomes captured within the heart of such a devotee out of his love and appreciation for that devotee's hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in the holy name. I'm not interested in hearing the Bhagavatam either because of my previous impressions, which distract me through two ways. One is I'm attracted to material sense gratification, and the other is my mind's constantly distracted to other lesser things. And our acharyas say this is for a reason. It's because I have a kind of deep-seated hostility toward Krishna. And someone might say, I'm not hostile towards God. But their reasoning is, the acharyas, that if you're absorbing your consciousness elsewhere, you actually are trying to avoid God because he's everywhere and he's everything. So if you're looking for a refuge outside of his shelter, and in some way there's a deep-seated kind of feeling that you don't want to be with him, you don't want to hear about him and so forth. And this is the ubiquitous impression in the whole material world, that I'd rather absorb my consciousness in tamasic, dull matter, than in Sakchidananda, the original form of Krishna, Sakchidananda Vigraha. So how does one get to that point where one has taste for chanting Hare Krishna and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the means of perfection? Tato jayam udirayat. This is the means by which one can cross over the material ocean. One should approach it through the process of initiation. And this is called a panchasamskar. The panchasamskar means, traditionally, in other sampradayas, that first of all you start with tapa. And tapa means, just like Srivas Panit Prabhu, he's got that mark on his shoulder now. Somebody branded him down in South India with a hot brand. They take a hot brand right out of the fire. Do you like this part? You like it? And you get a brand on your shoulders of the markings of Vishnu. This is done in the Sri Sampradaya, and, if I'm not incorrect, Madhva Sampradaya. So we're part of the Madhva Gaudiya, so this, I guess it's okay. But Mahaprabhu didn't do that. He emphasized that you could write the holy names and chandan on your skin. And then there's Tapa Pundra. Pundra means Urva Pundra, or making the marks of Tilak. And then there's Nama, which means that you take a name, a new name. Of course, you know, when you're born, you get a name, and you always think of yourself in that way, because someone might say, you know, your new name is Alfred. And then it's like, yeah, that's who I am. I'm Alfred. But you get a name that's connected to Krishna, and you'll remember Krishna, because the spiritual master gives you birth, gives you a new name. And then you get mantra, which means the Brahma Gayatri mantra and the esoteric mantras from the passed down through the Vaishnava scriptures. And then finally there's yaga, which means to be able to perform deity worship and come close to the deity. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains these processes. He says tapa actually means that you develop a kind of awareness that I've been in the material world wasting my time since a time immemorial. And there's a kind of repentance in your heart. This represents the kind of fire that's necessary for one to move forward in spiritual life. That I regret the fact that I came here in the first place. Do you all feel like that? I thought so. So this is necessary, otherwise, unless I have that feeling, why would I opt out of the material world and start heading for the spiritual world? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that one has to cut down the deeply rooted tree of material attachment and then afterwards make one's way towards the spiritual world. Both things have to be there. The next is called Urva Pundra, and this tilak, Urva means upwards. So the devotees are always looking up. That's what it means, Urva. Urva Pundra. So, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada Pashanti Sura Yoho Divava Chakshra Tatanta Vipraso Vipanyavo Jagravamsaha Samindate Vishnu Yat Paramam Padam. The Vaishnavas, they're moving around this world, may even be in Silicon Valley or in South Africa or San Diego, but their real goal and their vision is fixed on Parampadam, on the lotus feet of Krishna in the spiritual world. They have no interest in the material world anymore. And this, the Urva Pundra means they're always looking upwards, always connected in that way. And it also means that they're demonstrative about the fact that they're devotees. When you put tilak on your forehead and you walk on an airplane, they always do a double take when you come on. They're like, hi, welcome, hi, welcome, hi, welcome. It's very noticeable, and it's meant to be. And when people ask me, what's it for, I always say it's a mark of dedication. I'm dedicated to certain vows I've taken, spiritual vows. People really like that. And every living entity likes that. We like to be dedicated to the right things. It makes us happy. This is real dharma. And when you don't have that, you just have a confused life and a big mess. So Urva Pundra is clean, neat, beautiful. You save a lot of money on tattoos. If you get, Prabhupada said, it's like the modern jewelry, he said. Because he said people can't afford jewelry in this age, so we wear a Vaishnava tilak instead. Save yourself a lot on that. Then comes Nama, and the name is given very lovingly by the spiritual master, and also one accepts the vow to chant a certain amount of names every day. And then comes mantra. And through the mantra, one actually becomes purified inwardly enough to overcome, by the power of the mantra given by the guru, to overcome the previous tendencies. If you say the mantras regularly, then it overwrites the previous samskaras. It obliterates them, actually. Through the process of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna becomes the vitunoti, or the one who sorts out for you what are the anartas, and what are the artists? What are the actual valuable things that I have in life? One begins to discern that through the process of chanting. And then comes yaga. For those who are taking second initiation, it also allows them the access to worship the deity in the temple, because only those that are second initiated can participate in the deity worship. And this is vital because we need to see the personal form of the Lord and attend to the personal form of the Lord and become attached to the Lord in that way in order to give up our attachment to the material world. As it is said in the Bhagavatam, Yene Ravindaksha Vamuktamani Nas Toyasta Bhavada Vashudha Buddhaya Aruya Krishna Paramparam Tata Patantyato Nadrita Yushmarangraya. That any other kind of imagined liberation won't last until one becomes attached to the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because I can't see Krishna with my present materially conditioned eyes, he appears as Archa, or the deity form, so that I can attend to him. And when one does deity worship, one enters into the rarefied atmosphere of the pujari room, which is kept in a pristine state, totally clean, totally devoid of any kind of gossip or any other topic. Everyone's seriously attending to the form of the Lord. When you enter in there, you'll feel a change in heart. And when you're able to attend to the Lord's form in the deity, then you'll also see that he's reciprocating, and you'll develop an attachment for him in that way. And those who do that, they become kritibi. They become refined through the process of initiation from a spiritual master, as is recommended by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Out of all the 64 items, he puts three as foremost. First is that one should take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Second is take initiation. And third is should inquire and do service. So those who do that through the system, Vijanataha, they're transformed and they become spiritual in nature. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that at the time of initiation, you no longer have a material body, but you have a sadaka deha, practitioner's body, that has become transcendentalized and fit to serve Krishna because of having gone through this process. So those who are taking the second initiation today will, just after this ceremony, hear from their respective gurus the mantras that have been passed down, and then they will take up chanting those mantras three times a day at the different sandhyas to remember Krishna. And those mantras will remind you of your Ishtadev, or your ultimate goal in life. It's a necessary trisandhyam, as it's said in the last line of the Guru Vashtakam, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasado Yasya Prasada Anagati Kutopi Dhyayang Stuvam Stasya Yasya Trisandhyam Vande Guru Shri Taranadavindam. One has to stop three times a day and remember one's good fortune and connection to the spiritual master, which means that's Krishna's mercy, the way he's extending himself to us in a localized form so that we can come back to him through the process of Panchasamskar. So congratulations to all of you today who are taking initiation. And now Giriraj Maharaj will speak. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for that beautiful, eloquent, erudite, esoteric discourse. The basis of all of our spiritual practices is the chanting of the holy names, and specifically at the time of first initiation, one is being initiated into the chanting of the holy names. And so on the occasion of initiations, Srila Prabhupada would speak about the 10 offenses, because the result one gets from chanting will depend on the quality of chanting. As Srila Prabhupada writes in relation to the prayers of Queen Kunti, that by one chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can burn up more the reactions to more sinful activities than one is able to perform. So Srila Prabhupada comments that there's no exaggeration in such a statement, but the result depends on the quality of the chanting. And in Queen Kunti's prayers, she says that those who are on the path of material advancement, they cannot chant, they cannot feelingly utter Krishna's holy name. So all these different statements supplement or amplify the statements, for example, that Vaisheshika Prabhu shared with us. So now I will read specifically about those 10 offenses. Throughout his books, Srila Prabhupada quotes these 10 offenses. But at this particular explanation comes from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Text 25. So please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
I'll just read the Sanskrit twice. Yachcha vrajantyanamisham rishavanuvritya.
Yachcha.
Dureyama yuparina sprihani yashila.
Dureyama yuparina sprihani yashila.
Partur mitasu yashasa katana nuraga.
Partur mitasu yashasa katana nuraga.
Of Yabashba Kalaya Pulaki Kritanga. Translation. Persons whose bodily features change in ecstasy and who breathe heavily and perspire due to hearing the glories of the Lord are promoted to the kingdom of God, even though they do not care for meditation and other austerities. The kingdom of God is above the material universes, and it is desired by Brahma and other demigods. Please repeat. Persons whose bodily features change in ecstasy and who breathe heavily and perspire due to hearing the glories of the Lord are promoted to the kingdom of God. Even though they do not care, for meditation and other austerities. The kingdom of God is above the material universes. And it is desired by Brahma
and other demigods.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is stated herein that the kingdom of God is above the material universes. One can enter the kingdom of the Supreme Lord only when one is highly developed in desirable qualities. All good qualities develop in the person of a devotee. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 18th chapter, verse 12, that anyone who is Krishna conscious is endowed with all the good qualities of the demigods. So, our general process of spiritual advancement and in this context of developing good qualities is to become Krishna conscious by the practice of bhakti yoga, and also to make an effort to develop these good qualities. Once His Holiness Radhanath Swami told me that someone asked him how he became so humble, and he replied that he practiced, and that by practicing, it became a habit, it became natural to him. So we practice. Developing, manifesting these good qualities. But at the same time, they manifest automatically through Krishna consciousness. Brahmaji confirms herewith that only persons who have developed the desirable qualities can enter into the kingdom of God. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the devotees' desirable qualities are described to be 26 in number. They are stated as follows. He is very kind. He does not quarrel with anyone. He accepts Krishna consciousness as the highest goal of life. He is equal to everyone. No one can find fault in his character. He is magnanimous, mild, and always clean, internally and externally. He does not profess to possess anything in the material world. He is a benefactor to all living entities. He is peaceful and is a soul completely surrendered to Krishna. He has no material desires to fulfill. He is meek and humble, always steady, and has conquered the sensual activities. He does not eat more than required to maintain body and soul together. He is never mad after material identity. He is respectful to all others and does not demand respect for himself. He is very grave, very compassionate, and very friendly. He is poetic. He is expert in all activities, and he is silent in nonsense. These are the qualities of persons who are eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. that such a person gradually becomes liberated and enters the kingdom of God is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, verse 2. The Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 3rd chapter, verse 24 also states that if a person does not cry or exhibit bodily changes after chanting the holy name of God without offense, it is to be understood that he is hard-hearted, and therefore his heart does not change even after he chants the holy name of God. Hare Krishna. These bodily changes can take place due to ecstasy when we offenselessly chant the holy names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It may be noted that there are 10 offenses we should avoid. The first offense is to decry persons who try in their lives to broadcast the glories of the Lord. People must be educated in understanding the glories of the Supreme. Therefore, the devotees who engage in preaching the glories of the Lord are never to be decried. It is the greatest offense. So this first offense, sadhu ninda, to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for the propagation of the holy name, is the worst offense. And the result of committing offenses against the holy name is that one will not be able to relish the holy name and experience the changes that offenseless chanting brings. Now, living in a society of devotees, we can fall prey to the phenomenon, familiarity breeds contempt. And that can be very dangerous to our spiritual lives. My godbrother, our godbrother, Burijan Prabhu, often conducts japa retreats and gives seminars on japa. And in one such retreat, he gave the students two homework assignments. One was to chant attentively. In the list of 10 offenses, one is to chant inattentively, pramadaha. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if one chants attentively, all the other offenses will be eradicated. But if one's chanting is inattentive, all the other offenses will flourish. So he gave them the assignment to chant attentively, to observe how they were chanting attentively. And the other was to avoid sadhu ninda, to avoid criticizing devotees, because that's the worst offense. So the next day he asked the students how they did on their homework. So one lady said that she had every intention not to criticize any devotees. But she was with people who were doing that. And she couldn't help it. It was in the environment. So Burijan Prabhu said, you have two choices here. One is you can change the environment, and the other is you can dissociate yourself from the environment. If you want to change the environment, good luck. Because the environment doesn't want to change. The environment wants to criticize devotees. So you have the other alternative is more practical, to dissociate yourself from that. So, of course, in a way we are trying to change the environment or, develop the culture of appreciating devotees and not criticizing them. But even if there is criticism in the environment, we should avoid it. We should not take part. The holy name of Vishnu is the most auspicious name, and his pastimes are also none different from the holy name of the Lord. There are many foolish persons who say that one can chant Hare Krishna, or chant the name of Kali or Durga or Shiva, because they are all the same. If one thinks that the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the names and activities of the demigods are on the same level, or if one accepts the holy name of Vishnu to be a material sound vibration, that is also an offense. So this idea is very common. At one time, I would have said common among Hindus, but now it's everywhere in yoga circles where they perform kirtan. And if you suggest that the holy name of Krishna or Vishnu is different or superior to the others, they may not like it. And I very much appreciate the efforts of devotees to go into yoga studios and do kirtan. But my concern is that the chanting may involve this offense. So it's a little tricky. There was a very, maybe it still is popular, there's a very popular magazine in India called the Illustrated Weekly of India. It was popular like Life magazine used to be in America some time ago. And the editor, Kushwant Singh, was a demon. I mean, I have nothing against him, but he just was a demon. And he ran an article called Hare Krishna versus Shiva Shiva. And the article was an account by an Austrian sannyasi named Agehananda Bharati of his, you could say, exchange or debate with our Pridayananda Das Goswami.
And so by this title, Hare Krishna versus Shiva Shiva, the editor was trying to look us, make us all look silly. Like, oh, how silly, you know, they're arguing over Krishna supreme or Shiva supreme. And as far as he was concerned, they're all nothing. So I wrote Srila Prabhupada about this. And he said, yes, you're right. Bharat, he's a fool. But Singh is a demon. So when I said he was a demon, it was authorized. Not my own creation. Okay, so there are many foolish persons who say that one can chant Hare Krishna or the name of Kali or Durga or Shiva because they are all the same, but they're not. The third offense is to think of the spiritual master who spreads the glories of the Lord as an ordinary human being. So this is Gurur Avagya, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. And the mentality that underlies disobeying his orders is the idea that he's an ordinary human being, like me. In fact, I might be more intelligent than he is. I mean, it sounds absurd, extreme and absurd. But even our dear, beloved, exalted Srila Prabhupada is sometimes subjected to challenge by people who think, you know, he just gave us the basics, but we have to, as Vaisheshika Prabhu wrote in his wonderful offering, which he read yesterday. So, so Gurur Avagya, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. We have to be very careful about that. The third offense is to think the spiritual master spends the glories of the Lord as an ordinary human being, because that will lead to disobeying the orders of the spiritual master. The fourth offense is to consider the Vedic literature, such as the Puranas or other transcendentally revealed scriptures, to be ordinary books of knowledge. So sometimes this is translated to blaspheme the Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. And there are different degrees of offense. These different degrees were illustrated in the pastime described in Srimad Bhagavatam when Bhrigu Muni went to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu to test them, you know, to determine who was actually in the mode of goodness, who was actually supreme. So with Lord Brahma, who was his father, he didn't offer respects. He didn't blaspheme him. He didn't attack him verbally or physically. He just didn't offer respects. So that was a subtle offense. So devotees have commented, and I agree with it, that not to read Srila Prabhupada's books is a subtle offense. It's not blaspheming, but it is a subtle offense. And again, the underlying mentality, the fourth offense is to consider the Vedic literature, such as the Puranas or other transcendentally revealed scriptures, to be ordinary books of knowledge. It's like considering the guru to be an ordinary human being, considering the scriptures to be ordinary books of knowledge. The fifth offense is to think that devotees have given artificial importance to the holy name of God. The actual fact is that the Lord is non-different from His name. The highest realization of spiritual value is to chant the holy name of God as prescribed for this age. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So again, Srila Prabhupada is quoting the entire Maha Mantra. The sixth offense is to give some interpretation on the holy name of God. The seventh offense is to act sinfully on the strength of chanting the holy name of God. It is understood that one can be freed from all sinful reactions simply by chanting the holy name of God. But if one thinks that he is therefore at liberty to commit all kinds of sinful acts, that is a symptom of offense. So in some places, Srila Prabhupada has said that this is the worst offense. The idea is clear, that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one becomes freed from sinful reactions. So if one is cunning and duplicitous and thinks, okay, I'll engage in sinful activities and then I'll chant to neutralize the reactions, that's an offense. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says not only is it an offense, but it doesn't work. So Srila Prabhupada used to criticize Christians who would go to the church on Sunday and confess to become relieved from their sins. And then Monday they'd start committing the same sins again. He wasn't against the practice of confession. There actually is value to confession. But he was against confessing and then sinning and then coming back and confessing again and then sinning again. So, yeah, we really should not commit sinful activities anymore. The eighth offense is to equate the chanting of the Hare Krishna with other spiritual activities, such as meditation, austerity, penance, or sacrifice. They cannot be equated at any level. Sometimes this is rendered as to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as an auspicious ritualistic activity mentioned in the Vedas. There was one incident with Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, there was a conference at Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan in Chaupati, Bombay, at which different spiritual leaders were invited. And the theme of the conference was how the Bhagavad Gita could solve all the world's problems. But before the session began, Mrs. Leelavati Munshi, who was the head of the Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan, called the participants, different spiritual leaders, to her personal library, and they had some talk. So one of the men, I don't remember his name, I remember he had a red face and white hair and a white beard. But he told Srila Prabhupada that he was calling people together in large numbers, and having them chant and telling them that by chanting they could become free from their physical ailments. So he said to Srila Prabhupada that, you know, I'm gathering people together and you're gathering people together. I'm getting them to chant the holy name and you're getting them to chant the holy name. So we should cooperate. And Srila Prabhupada said, no. What you are doing is against our principles. You know, we don't use the holy name to serve our material bodies. You know, we chant the holy name to serve the holy name. So he was very clear and direct and candid, and yeah, people loved him. A lot of people did. But in that group they did, because they wanted him to it was a week long conference, or they wanted him to stay and like preside over it, but he was actually very busy in Juhu, and he refused. He just came for that one night. But when they were appealing to him, you know, they said, Swamiji, Swamiji, only you can lead us. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, that is a fact. But are you prepared to follow? So, okay. The ninth offense is to specifically glorify the importance of the holy name before persons who have no interest. Just a second.
I mean, we're sort of, I don't know, I mean, I can cut it short, or just keep going, and, but we won't finish before our TV begins.
Our TV's already going.
So I guess I should finish up.
Yeah, because we still have to do the initials and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
The tenth offense is to be attached to the misconception of possessing something or to accept the body as oneself while executing the process of spiritual activities. Like ahamma meti. This is, you know, the tenth offense is related to being inattentive. The reason we're inattentive is because we're thinking about ourselves, you know, our bodies, our minds. If we actually analyze the pattern of our thoughts, it comes back to our wanting to be the enjoyer and controller and proprietor. When one is free from all ten of these offenses and chanting the holy name, he develops ecstatic bodily features. So just skip ahead to the end of the last paragraph. Here in this verse, it is stated that those who have actually developed the symptoms of happiness and tears in the eyes by chanting the glories of the Lord are eligible to enter the kingdom of God, which is our goal. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that if one does not develop these symptoms while chanting Hare Krishna, it is to be understood that he is still offensive. Chaitanya Charitamrita suggests a nice remedy in this connection. And that's what we need. We need a nice remedy. We desperately need a nice remedy. Chaitanya Charitamrita suggests a nice remedy in this connection. There it is said in verse 31, chapter 8 of Adi Lila, that if anyone takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya and just chants the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, He becomes freed from all offenses. So we do this as a practice. We chant the Panchatattva mantra before we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Because in the chanting of Hare Krishna, there are offenses to be considered. But in the chanting of the holy names of Gaur Nitai, or the Panchatattva, they don't consider offenses. And so the idea is that by chanting the holy names of Lord Chaitanya, we become ecstatic. And when we're ecstatic and we chant Hare Krishna, then we don't commit offenses. And I've seen Burijan Prabhu do that. He'll really very enthusiastically chant the Panchatattva mantra to really come to the stage at which one can begin to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in ecstasy without offense. So, thank you all for coming and listening. Now we will call forward the new initiates to take their vows and receive their new names. So we will start with...
You're going to put on the beads.
Oh. Yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Bhakta Zach. What are the four principles that you vow to follow every day for the rest of your life?
No intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling, and no illicit sex.
Could you expand on some of those in a little more detail? Like, well, not too much detail, but like no meat eating,
fish,
no,
eggs.
Eating meat, fish, or eggs.
Mm-hmm. No intoxicants such as tea, coffee, obviously alcohol, drugs, sorts of things.
Okay. And how many rounds minimum do you promise to chant every day?
Minimum of 16 rounds and minimum of 25 rounds on Ekadashis.
Okay. And is there anything else you would like to say on this auspicious occasion, in this august assembly?
I also vow to do my best to serve Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement.
Good.
And just want to thank you for accepting your certification.
So, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara, I am pleased to accept you as my duly initiated disciple, and henceforth you will be known as Vraja Mohan Das.
Vraja Mohan Das Prabhu ki jai.
Vraja Mohan is the name of Krishna, which means the attractor of all of Vraja.
Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna.
So now you offer obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. Bhaktim Chaitanya.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Go that way.
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, what are the four regulative principles that you vow to follow every day of your life?
No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and no illicit sex.
Okay. I won't ask you to elaborate because I'm sure you subscribe to whatever Vraja Mohan vowed. Okay. And how many rounds minimum do you promise to chant?
16 rounds, Maharaj.
Good. And is there anything else you would like to say?
So, before we were coming to, we started for ISV, my Guru Maharaj told me that once you give something to a Brahmana, then you shouldn't take it back.
Wait. Can you say, speak more slowly? Or
yes.
Yeah.
So before we started for ISV, Guru Maharaj told me that once you give something to a Brahmana, then you shouldn't take it back. I couldn't understand the deeper meaning back then, but today I know what it truly means. Therefore, today I give myself to His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, myself in this holy presence of Sri Radha Madan Mohanji and all the Vaishnavas. Thanking all my Shiksha Gurus, especially Hari Priya Mataji, Preeti Radhika Didi and Priya Gopika. I also thank all the compassionate Vaishnavas who are like desire trees. Without their mercy, I wouldn't have met my Guru.
Beautiful. Thank you. So, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara, I am pleased to accept you as my duly initiated disciple. And henceforth, your name shall be Chaitanya Priya Dasi.
Hare Krishna, Chaitanya Priya Devi Dasi. Ki Jai.
Chaitanya, it's very unusual that she already had the name Chaitanya. And Chaitanya Priya can refer to Lord Chaitanya, who is very dear. Priya can refer to those who are dear to Lord Chaitanya. And Priya can refer to those for whom Lord Chaitanya is very dear. So you are the servant of all of them. You are so fortunate. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Oh. You can call your second initiate. You want to call him up? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Dear Prashant Prabhu, please come up. Dear Prashant Prabhu is taking second initiation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Opera basis is this one. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's very important to be consistent. Those who are persistent and consistent and move forward on the spiritual path will taste success. And Rupa Goswami says this in his Upadeshamrita, when he said, Utsaha nischayad haryat, tat tat karma pavartanat, sangatyagat satovrite, shadbir bhakti prasiddhiti. And I've seen in you that there's a persistence and a consistency, and you're also getting help from Krishna. Because there have been events in your life where you became exponentially more serious by Krishna's arrangement. And it's based on that and your consistency that I thought it was a good time for you to take a second initiation, and also because Giriraj Maharaj insisted that someone else take initiation so I could be part of this. And so I saw that as also Krishna's arrangement. So you can take that as divine intervention that is coming into your life. And this second initiation is very practical. It's for those who are emerging leaders of the Sankirtan movement through their example and also through their work to spread the Krishna conscious movement, also doing deity worship. So I make a prayer here in front of all these devotees and Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan that you may become ever more strong in the practice of Krishna consciousness. And through chanting the Gayatri Mantras, which we'll give to you just after this program, that you'll develop a more and more intimate relationship with Krishna in your heart and mind and soul, and that by the power of the ropes of the Gayatri Mantra, you'll be pulled back to Godhead. Everyone who likes these ideas, please say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna!
This is your Gayatri thread. Oh, you have one. Okay, good. Extra. And this is a certificate showing the day that you got initiated and the fact that you were initiated on this day. Proof of purchase. Hare Krishna. Dear Prashant Prabhu Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol. Leave that here.
Well, I don't think that Preeti Radhika and Priya Gopika need to come up, but they could stand up and I'll just introduce them. So Preeti Radhika and Priya Gopika are sisters, and you know Preeti Radhika because she's part of ISV, and her sister Priya Gopika, and she both received first initiation here 3 years ago? Five? 4 years ago. Compromise. Between 3 and 5? 4. We'll go with 4. 4 years ago. And, Priya Gopika and Chaitanya Priya came all the way from Mumbai for this occasion. So yes, please give the two sisters your blessings that they can be very strong devotees and Brahmins and everything else that Vaisheshik Prabhu said. Hare Krishna.